This week we have jumped a few chapters into the book of Genesis. From early on, Abram is a special character, according to God. You may feel like you know him better as Abraham. God calls Abram and sends him away from the country of his birth, Ur of the Chaldeans, to go to Canaan. And God promises that the land will belong to Abraham's ancestors. I can imagine the feelings of fear and anticipation that accompanied that happening. For Abraham, the hope of a family. Once they settled in their new land, famine hits, and they go from Canaan down into Egypt. After some difficulty with Pharaoh, an interesting story that I will let you look up, Abram and his people are sent away from Egypt, and they find their way back to Canaan. I suspect it takes years for all of that to happen. And that is where we jump into the story today. Abram has left everything behind because of God's promise. But years later, the math still doesn't work out. How could this land possibly belong to Abram's descendants when Abram doesn't have any offspring? Well, that seems to me to be a rather valid question. Now, if you remember last week, I asked the question of whether God can be trusted. That became Adam and Eve's problem when the serpent tempted them. And now it's Abram's problem because he has done all he's been asked to do. And still, he has not seen God's side of the promise fulfilled. And how do you blame him? Abraham has sacrificed much, all for the hope of a child, for a legacy. And yet his wife remains barren. While I haven't experienced it myself, I have known many people who have lived the struggle of infertility. I can't help but wonder if having the deep desire to have children and then being unable to have them, I suspect that it might be one of life's heaviest burdens. But that isn't the only thing that that people struggle with. I too have at times felt the void of what felt like an unfulfilled promise. I have felt what it is to have high hopes, only to watch them slowly deflate and eventually hit the floor, kind of like a wilted balloon. I can vividly remember one day sitting on my couch with tears streaming down my face, and I looked up and I said out loud, I can remember it, "You think that I am stronger than I am, and I don't have anything left. I can't do this." Even now, looking back and knowing how things worked out, I can still feel the heaviness of that sorrow. And I doubt that I am alone here. I would bet that many of you, if not most, or even all, that you have your own story of pain, of lost hope. Trust in God, even when everything that we see mocks our hope? How do we trust when all evidence seems to suggest that we have been forgotten? If you have ever felt even a glimmer of this, then consider yourself to be in good company, because Abram, he was feeling it too. One of the things that I often share with people who are experiencing doubts or struggles like that is to remind them that it's okay to feel that way. It is okay to question. One of the first books that I remember reading in seminary said, "God is big. God can take it." And in fact, Abraham kind of does it too. He says, "God, what will you give me? I continue childless because you have given me no offspring." I think that modern evangelical Christianity has done a real disservice to people by trying to float this idea that faith in God means having no doubts. This crazy idea that we're supposed to never feel anything but just wonder, and that if we do feel anything else, that we should just meekly accept it as God's will for us. But here is Abraham, the first patriarch of the Bible, who is actually having a real conversation with God, and he's saying, "You didn't live up to your promise. What's going on?" That same faulty modern thinking would suggest that questions like that might make God a little upset, angry even. But what does God do? God takes Abram outside and tells him to look up. God tells Abram to look up and try to count the stars, if you can. And God speaks again the promise that Abram will have descendants as numerous as the stars in the heavens. God does not get angry. God remains steadfast, and God speaks again the promise. I really loved the words that Catherine Schifferdecker said this week in a commentary that I read. She wrote, "Outside, under the glory of the endless night sky, Abraham is able to believe what seemed impossible in the close confines of his tent." Somehow, when his perspective is altered, Abraham finds his trust again. And as we know, God does indeed provide Abraham with a son, Isaac. And together with Sarah, they are the beginning of one of the Abrahamic faiths known today as Christianity. There are three Abrahamic faiths. The others are Judaism and Islam, and Abraham is at the beginning of all of them. We do all experience doubts. When we do, it is right and it is good to go to God and share our doubts and our fears and our questions. And when we do that, God reaffirms for us that God is present and doing, that we are never forgotten, that while things might look bleak, God is still God. Maybe, just maybe, you too will have the opportunity to change your perspective and to look up and see something in a different way, and to find trust again. To Abraham, God gave Isaac. And to us, God gives another son, Jesus. And Jesus is our evidence that we are not forgotten, that we are not left abandoned, and that we certainly are not without hope. pray that you may look up into this night sky and see, as the psalmist sings, the heavens declare the glory of God. Because it seems that Abraham too would agree. Amen.